Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series. Today, Ross Lichtenhaus, Vice President of Strategic Development at Altus Group, is speaking with Noelle Sharbaugh, Managing Director of Graystar, about the Ascent at Spring Hill Station and the Adair rental properties in Tysons. They will also be discussing the overall rental market in Tysons and how the region is transforming into a residence destination. And with that, we'll hand it over to Ross.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. Noelle, thanks for joining me today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I'm really, really excited to have you guys represented on our podcast series, and you specifically. One of the things that Matt did mention in his introduction is that you're a bit of a celebrity around town. I think last year, weren't you Washington Business Journal 40 under 40? Is that right?
I was, yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
commercial real estate royalty on the phone right now. And then having Graystar represent in this podcast series is something that I've wanted to do for a while, specifically about the two projects that we're talking about today with the Ascent and Adair. And the reason being, there's a lot of discussion here, and we've spent a lot of time talking on the podcast and other events about some of these larger mixed-use developments popping up around Tysons, like the borough that's under construction. And you guys took a little bit of a different tact and kind of, I don't want to say flew under the radar, but took a little bit of a different strategy, certainly in the context of that discussion, by delivering what are some great multifamily product, but outside of your traditional mixed-use development. And I wanted to just know a little bit more about the thinking and the strategy associated with that, if it was let's get to market first, certainly closer to transit and metro stops, but what was the strategy and thinking of delivering, you know, some of the standalone residential products very early on in the approval process since the comprehensive plan back in 2010, 2012?
Great. Well, you know, I think that Graystar is very forward-thinking with their development of both of the projects here. And, you know, we have the ability to kind of see the vision of what is to come for many years out and several markets that we work in, both nationally and internationally, but here in Tysons specifically. The main difference between Ascent and Adair is, you know, Ascent was kind of early out of the gate for the development. It was one of the first to deliver in the Tysons metro area in 2015. And at that time, you know, it really wasn't a known renter destination. There wasn't a lot of people seeking rental here. Everybody knew it as an office market, and everybody obviously knew, you know, the Tysons shopping area, but they didn't see it as a rental destination. So Ascent was early out of the gate, 2015, and then, you know, speed up basically 2 years later, and the landscape looks very different for today's renter. And then we delivered Adair. And that was a very successful lease up for us. Ascent took us about 2 years to lease up, where Adair basically took us a year to lease up. So just to start to show you that there's been kind of a migration of population here. And I think that, you know, we knew that we were going to be cutting our teeth early with Ascent and the delivery here and kind of really building the brand to tell people why they wanted to live in Tysons. Meanwhile, then the metro starts delivering and there's more reasons to come here. So then the renters start to follow suit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I have to tell you, I mean, you know, watching those two projects go up and some of the discussions that folks have in the industry saying, well, you know, we really don't have, there's a lack of placemaking in those areas of Tysons. And, you know, residents don't feel the sense of permanency yet related to Tysons. And, you know, it may be a struggle for lease up, but, I mean, you guys, I was looking at the statistics this morning on those projects. I mean, you guys knocked it out of the park in terms of lease up, especially as, you know, standalone multifamily. So I'd really like to know, you know, from the Ascent to the Adair, and then just overall strategy around amenities and the offerings, you know, what did you guys do differently to position yourself to be very successful very early on in a market that I would say wasn't relatively untested, but a lot of concern over how standalone multifamily would do outside of some of the mixed-use projects?
Well, we knew that we were going to have the metro stop here, which is obviously a big draw and number one reason for the development. We also see, you know, with things like the borough coming on board, the vision for the retail and the grocery options, those will continue to expand. And, you know, we are close enough to there that people can still be able to get there, drive to the Whole Foods once it delivers. And currently, they can still go to Harris Teeter and some other grocery options locally. They have to get in their cars to do that. They can't necessarily walk there today, but there are those options. And, you know, I'm watching it every day happen with the retail restaurant dining options. Isabella's is a great example over at the Galleria. You know, I thought when it was first coming, I thought, you know, I don't know, it's an interesting dining concept, and they definitely need more of that. Today, if you walk there on a Friday evening for happy hour, you can go to the Oyster and Champagne Bar. You can grab a piece of pizza. You can sit down for a steak. There's a ton of different options, and it's very busy. And people I know are definitely looking for more of those dining options here locally. So what we did to differentiate both buildings was, you know, they both really have a robust amenities package. We know renters are looking for, you know, the conveniences and, you know, certain specific amenities. They both have 24-hour concierge. They both have rooftop pools, club rooms, fitness centers, transient screens so that they can tell when the next metro is coming and the buses are here and the Uber's pickups are coming. They both have pet spas because we know pets are a major draw for our renters. They have bike storage, grocery, cold storage options. Adair, you know, because it came later in the game and we had kind of learned a little bit more about what residents were looking for, it has a little bit more outdoor space. It has an outdoor amphitheater. It's got an outdoor volleyball court and a kind of a public park area, which is utilized especially by pet owners and people that like that kind of outdoor activity. They also have a virtual gaming room and golf simulator and some other sports options and a spin bike room, which is also very popular with the residents. And then one other thing to kind of note is besides just the amenity options, which we know are important to our renters because they don't just live in their apartments, they live outside of their apartments, but in the units at Adair, which is, I think, very forward-thinking, we have some a very high-end upgraded custom built-in closets, which is kind of a new concept to the market. You know, you see some kind of like container store setups in some of these closets, typically in some of the rental markets, but these are some very high-end, almost kind of like a California closet, built-in closet system.
Yeah.
And we also have slate appliances versus the standard stainless steel appliances, which is very kind of high-end, a really new finish, and we're getting a huge, you know, applause from the renter base, and people are saying that they're much easier to clean and that they would really prefer them over the stainless steel option. So that was kind of forward-thinking. One other thing I want to note is that we have a view dynamic glass, which is on our roof club room area, and it's basically an intelligent glass that changes tint throughout the day as the sun moves around the building to reduce glare and help the control of temperatures. And it really provides like an optimum tint for the residents all day as they're kind of utilizing the space. We like this technology so much, and this is the first building that I know of in the rental market that has this technology, definitely locally. We like it so much, we're actually going to install it inside of our apartment homes in our new development called XO that's going to be delivering in Reston this year. And versus the typical shades and blinds, this tint glass is going to really help people control the glare in their apartments and be something that we think that they're going to feel is you know, a very green way of living and better than kind of like the mecha shades and traditional blinds that you see in apartments.
So well, I got to tell you those
a few ways.
Yeah. I mean, those are certainly, to some extent, from my perspective and my knowledge, you know, very unique amenities. Certainly, the kind of California closet style, you definitely don't see that. The appliances, the tinted glass, all very smart things. So it sounds to me that, you know, you guys felt the market certainly could support the residential, and if you build it right, they will come. But you really do need to stand out and be unique. And it also sounds like you guys kind of knew that retail base was coming, that you didn't necessarily need to build it up around your property. But if you positioned it correctly, you could benefit from, you know, directly and indirectly from some of the other development in Tyson. So that's interesting. Let me talk just a second about, you mentioned XO and you mentioned a delivery of that. Of that property here at some point in the near future. Can you tell me a little bit, in your mind, the differences from a market perspective in making a decision to develop in Reston, which is an established kind of, you know, higher density, transit-oriented planned development versus a Tyson's? Can you walk me through some of the differences there and the pros and cons of that?
Well, you know, I really like Tyson's from the accessibility of the commuter roads 495, 66, 267. I think, you know, it really becomes a destination that gets you very quickly to D.C., Maryland, and other areas of Northern Virginia. And, you know, the metro is here, so there's definitely a draw and a desire to live in Tyson's. Now, we also believe in the expansion and continued expansion of the Silver Line to the Dulles Corridor. And, you know, as we opened up with kind of the first draw of Tyson's metros, there will then be the second stop in Reston and, you know, continue down to Dulles over the coming years. So I think that those areas will continue to be more desirable. Reston is definitely more of a suburban location, you know, traditionally more single family homes there. That landscape is changing very, very quickly today. And there will continue to be redevelopment of Lake Ann and other areas in Reston and, you know, One Loudoun and some of those others as you kind of go down the corridor to Dulles. One other big draw and what I'm very hopeful for is that, you know, Amazon is still considering headquarters too locally in D.C. and Northern Virginia is definitely on the top of the list. And I've heard recently, you know, I can't open the paper without reading about Amazon headquarters too.
Sure.
But
sure.
I'm very hopeful, and if I was a betting person, I might say that I think that there's a good chance that Northern Virginia would be the selected location, and anywhere in the Dulles Corridor that has the metro access, including Reston, Tyson's.
But you're not biased
and
at all.
Ashbourne. No, not. Hey, listen, we have developments in Maryland and D.C. as well. So.
I know. I'm kidding.
But
I
Northern
have to tell
Virginia
you, though, I mean,
has the bandwidth to be able to support that kind
it,
of
it does. It's
growth.
Interesting,
so,
I totally agree with you. At some point, I do want to have a podcast specifically on Amazon HQ, too, hopefully before they make a decision, because I'm also very bullish on Northern Virginia for a whole bunch of reasons, a lot of which you mentioned. But, that would fundamentally change absorption, you know, the layout, the very fabric, I think, of a lot of these communities. And I think Tyson's is well positioned to be able to deliver some of the higher density that we would need to support an Amazon HQ2. Can you tell me a little bit more about the kind of target demographic or renter profile in some of the newer buildings that you guys are developing for these amenities? I mean, is it truly the young professional group? There's a lot of discussion about downsizing in the later years after retirement from folks in some of the surrounding affluent jurisdictions. What are the target renter profile for these types of buildings with these kind of forward-thinking amenities?
Sure. Well, I can get really granular for you in Tyson specifically.
Let's do it.
With the average age here is about 35. Mm-hmm. Average incomes slightly over $100,000, around between $115,000 and $120,000. And top employers locally, you know, Capital One, Booz Allen, Freddie Mac, Ernst & Young. And we actually see a combination of couple of empty nesters. I wouldn't say that that's our largest demographic, but we certainly have that. We also have a pretty large student base at some of our properties. I'm very surprised to tell you, and I was shocked when I heard this stat, that a lot of these students are actually going to school in downtown Washington, D.C., like GW and Georgetown.
Really?
And they choose to live in Tyson's, which I think is a testament to kind of the offerings here. They could live in downtown D.C. closer to university, and they choose to live here in Tyson's Corner. So I think that is a very encouraging stat, actually.
That's a remarkable stat.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of haters out there that would say, as recently as 5 years ago, who in the heck wants to live in Tyson's when they have the option to live in Clarendon or in downtown D.C. to see that kind of reverse commute, which I think is certainly attributable to the Silver Line. To me, that's incredible. That is really incredible. I hope that's not just at your building, but at other buildings around Tyson's as well.
Yeah, well, we manage 4 properties in Tyson's Corner, so I can tell you, I think I have a pretty strong lock on who the renter demographic is. So
yeah.
I think that we have a pretty sound understanding of who lives here.
That's great. It's really encouraging to hear that. So let's talk a little bit about pipeline. Because,
sure.
As you know, there's a lot of discussion on how much we've delivered in the past few years, as well as what's in the pipeline, what's being planned, and of course, the comprehensive plan that was approved opened up the floodgates in terms of density, certainly around metro stops. And I was on the Tysons Partnership website recently, and I've given a couple presentations on this. And, you know, interestingly, we've got about another 1.7 million square feet of residential plans, and almost the same amount that's in process. And of course, there's a number of larger projects near metro that are under construction. What is your thinking in terms of absorption and supply that's currently in the pipeline? Do we have too much exposure on the multifamily front? Are we at a risk of kind of a tipping point where we've just got too much that's going to come to market and it's going to hurt everybody? Can you speak to that a little bit, Noelle?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is the question that's on everybody's mind, as you said, and it's definitely one that we talk about at great length. I will tell you that, you know, as a developer, an owner, and an operator, we're very bullish on the Washington, D.C. market. And really, that's been the main story for the last several years. There's another 14,000 units projected to deliver in the next 12 months here in Washington, D.C. And the good news is, though, that we have a great job story, right? We're grounded by the federal government. We have the highest concentration of millennial rent in the nation. You know, we've got the possibility of Amazon headquarter too. We also have here in Tysons specifically, we have a large number of Fortune 500 companies that are based here in the D.C. metro area, which I also think is a great story. Blue chip, other blue chip companies, you know, Facebook, Yelp, Nestle, they've all kind of announced either expansion in the area or relocation to the region. So I think that the job story is really strong. And, you know, although we keep saying, wow, this, you know, the pipeline and the product delivery is a lot, the reality is we keep absorbing these apartments. And, you know, kind of with the Ascent and Adair is a perfect example, you know, the average pace of kind of Ascent when we started leasing it up was probably, you know, 17 to 19 units a month, where Adair, 2 years later, there during the summer months, we were absorbing units at 35 to 45 units a month. So, wow. You know, you build it and they come. The renters, you know, they follow suit, and the experience and the you know, activation and the things to come here in the metro, all of that is driving renters, and I feel like it's going to continue to absorb, and I'm not concerned about the product delivery that's coming.
Well, that's great. So are you guys looking at additional projects that have not been announced here in Tysons?
We work with, well, like I said, we manage and own, we own two properties and developed the two, Adair and Ascent. We also, with our Monogram acquisition, now own Loft at Parkcrest and Nouvelle. And we are actively working with a lot of third-party clients on some of the future developments.
Got it. Okay. So nothing in the pipeline for you guys specifically on the development front other than those?
Right. Exactly. More on the management front.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something we like to keep an eye on. I'm always curious to know at what point in the cycle we are, and ask folks to kind of equate their pipeline and their thinking in terms of market as to equating it to a year from a previous cycle. I mean, do you feel that are we kind of in the 06, 07 timeframe, or are we at a little bit different point in the market cycle, in your opinion?
So I think that, you know, there's in Tysons specifically over the last several years, there's been a lot of product delivery. I think that there's, you know, 1,900 units planned or under construction. Some of them may deliver, some of them may not. But I think that that's probably a short-term concern, and that a few years from now, call it 2021, things will be very different from the product delivery standpoint, and those, you know, lease-ups will have absorbed at that point. And then we should anticipate that concessions will burn and rents will start to increase.
Okay. Well, Noel, I know you are very busy, and I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I do want to leave our podcast listeners with a bit of practical advice here. And given your experience both on the management, ownership, and development side here in Tysons, if there are other folks listening that are considering development of multifamily in the Tysons market, do you have any advice for them as they're maybe looking at a piece of dirt or they're in the planning process? Anything that words of wisdom you could provide that might help them navigate some of the challenges and look for opportunities here in the Tysons market on the multifamily front?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say pay attention to what the renters really want, both inside the apartments and also outside their apartments, because as I mentioned before, they, you know, don't just live in their apartment homes. They live in the amenities space and in the retail as well. We know they want convenience. We know they want to be connected, and we know that they want a great sense of community, and I think all of those things are equally important. Be very thoughtful about the design, the layout, the functionality, and how the space is used for the, you know, the project to be ultimately successful. And I think that most of today's new developments have some form of a mixed-use component, so considering the right mix of retail is also critically important, and understanding what the renters want to use and see as far as the retail mix when you're kind of placemaking and laying out these developments is very important. So that's my advice.
That's great advice, and a lot of encouraging trends that you've mentioned, and you guys are doing some very forward-thinking, progressive stuff, and always love watching these buildings come out of the ground. A lot of respect for what you guys are doing here in this market. So thank you again, Noel, for joining us here today, and Matt, I will kick it back over to you.
Perfect. Thanks, Ross. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Altus Group podcast interview where Ross Lichtenhouse, Vice President of Strategic Development at Altus Group, spoke with Noel Sharbaugh, Managing Director of Graystar, about the Ascent at Spring Hill Station and the Adair rental properties in Tysons. They also discussed the overall rental market in Tysons and how the region is truly transforming into a residence destination.